Blog Talk Radio.
Tomorrow's my grandma's 95th birthday, so yeah.
Yeah, I wonder who that 11111 is. Let's see. Hello, 11111. Happy Saturday tonight.
Well, hello, dear. Hello, ladies.
MVP. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I thought you was never going to say anything so I could announce who I was.
11111. Okay, Miss 11111. Anyway.
Hey, that got real good, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well,
trying to figure out who it was. I should have not said nothing for a whole minute, and then you go back, who in the world is that?
Hi, I'm good. 11111. Isn't it a number with 11111? Okay, hello. Anyways,
well,
ladies.
Well, it's better than having 66666.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Ladies, I'm going to share this all with y'all because I think what happened was that I'm going to talk about discrimination because last week I was on Facebook and it kind of like, it bugged me a lot. But discrimination in religion and everything. But if y'all know the information out there, you probably know what I'm talking about. But I don't want to mention out here because, you know, I don't want any problems.
Okay.
You know, this is, you know, live radio, and and I don't want any problems or drama or anything like that. But anyways.
Right. We're going to keep it clean.
Yes. Ladies, can I ask y'all a good question? Tell me, in your own words, what is discrimination? Because there's
ignorance.
A lot of things.
It's ignorance. Okay. It's something that, you know, like I said before when I did my video, discrimination, it has a lot of names. It has double standards. It has stereotypes. And we discriminate against things, against people that we do not know. Things and situations that we do not understand, nor have the knowledge to go, whether it's pride, whether it's fear, or just downright ignorance or stupidity, whatever you want to call it, to go to the individual and say, you know what, please forgive my ignorance, but I do not understand why is your child, or why do you act that way or walk that way for whatever reason. I mean, now we live in society now where everything offends us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather be upset with your question, why I act the way that I act, why I have a limp, than you going away and thinking it's something else when it really isn't. Mm.
I like that a lot. I totally agree because it, in a way, like what was going on this week, how, you know, anywhere you go, anywhere, like, if you have, like, a church or organization or anything out there, your beliefs, I mean, I would say beliefs, period, you know? And you tell someone, well, you're not supposed to be there, or, you're not allowed to be there because, you know, you got a cross on your necklace, or you cannot be here because you're dark skinned, or you got a turban. I mean, what?
Yeah, you know, it's like we said before, you know, and we've all sat down, you know, up at the local college. You know, and we have this conversation, is racism taught or is it learned? I say it's both.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say this is because you can grow up in a predominantly certain neighborhood where you don't see different ethnicities, but you hear your grandpa, your uncle, your daddy say all these racial slurs, so for you, you learn them, and you talk these slurs. You're taught these idiotic behaviors. So therefore, for you, it is normal to say blah, 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 because you grew up in that type of environment, and then you leave, either you, majority of the people that I came across, you know, of, they went into the military. So for them, they never met a positive, they never had a positive image of a Puerto Rican. They never had a positive image of a black person. They never had a positive image, so therefore they believe in the stereotype, which makes them discriminate against, well, I can't be friends with you because of this. Well, why? Well, because I didn't have any those type of people in my neighborhood. Okay. But I didn't have any people those type of people in my school. First and foremost, my name is Tina. How you doing? I am not my race. My race is not defining me. I am who I am. Get to know me before you judge me. Oftentimes we forget, we get angry, we get upset, and we say things and not realizing who is around us and who is impressionable.
Question is, what about if you, like, what you believe in? Like, okay, you have a neighbor, okay, and she's, like, she's a pagan or Wiccan. You have a neighbor who worships the nature, okay?
Right.
What is your thoughts, feelings? How would you feel about that?
I want to know about it when I first met my first pagan, and I was up at the local college, and I was raised in a predominantly black church, predominantly black Baptist church, right? Mm-hmm. Where that was witchcraft. No ifs, ands, or buts. It was witchcraft, plain and simple. They worship the devil, and 99.9, and the area that I grew in, and I'm sure Auntie Marilyn can probably attest to it as well, when you hear the word pagan, you automatically switch it to devil worship. Automatically.
You're right.
If you say pagan, they think
voodoo and witchcraft. That's exactly what they think.
And then they compare to hoodoo. And so, therefore, you have this bad image, and it was not until and ironically enough, I dated somebody who was outside my race, and he really made me think. He goes, you know what, baby, it's like this. Your family and your friends are not sleeping with me. They're not going to date me, and eventually, if it goes away, I hope it does, they're not going to be the ones who's going to be married to me. It is you. And you got to make that decision. Do you want to be with me? Do you want to be seen with me? Can you handle our relationship? Because we are coming from two different backgrounds, two different races. Yes, the society is not going to like it. They're not going to understand it. But can you deal with it? That's all I want to know, baby. Can you deal with it? After that, my whole entire approach of thinking for myself changed. And when I came across Marilyn, you already know, at the college, you have different people from different backgrounds, different religions, whatever. And I became friends with these women. Me and these women, we still talk. And I got to know them. I hung out with them. We cried. We laughed. We ate breakfast. We ate lunch with each other. We were so in sync where our cycles were just automatically connected. That's how close I became with these women. And when I found out that majority of my friends were pagan, instead of me running, I sat there, I do not understand. I said, I apologize for my ignorance. I do not understand. I said, but if you're willing to talk to me about it, where I can understand it, and that's what they did.
I totally agree.
And I appreciate them for that. Now, the reason why they said they didn't want to tell me because they knew I was a Christian, and they already knew this, you know, because of their religion and my religion, we didn't get along. And so they had a fear of telling me because they don't want to lose my friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, And the whole entire time, I won't say that they were discriminated against me per se, but they put me in a stereotype of, well, all Christians are judgmental. All Christians are closed-minded. All Christians have their nose up in the air. All Christians want to sit up there and point the finger of blame and say this, and quote all these scriptures to back up the reason why pagan this. And then they met me, and I totally sit up there and changed that stereotype of Christianity.
So, Marilyn, Sister Marilyn, what do you think about that? I mean, tell me your words.
I want to go back to your first question, and then I'll work my way up to the second one, okay? People stereotype you because of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your eyes, your hair, your clothes that you wear, the words that you use, the way you carry yourself, or the place that you live. Some people, you're not driving the best car in the world, or you live in a certain type of neighborhood, and you're not good enough for them because they don't stereotype you, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you be out, and you may work with that person. And at work, they stereotype you because you don't have the kind of job they have or the education that they have. And
or
this
you're
type,
a woman.
Yeah, or you know, I make more money than you and all this kind of thing. And I mean, they do it all the time. And if you look back a little bit, just a little bit, they're still doing it. Are still doing it. I mean, come on. You go. Let's talk about a stereotype at a restaurant. You got a waitress, okay? You got a bartender. You got the cook, okay? You got the manager, the supervisor, the assistant manager, and people go in and sit down.
And the busboy. Don't forget the busboy.
Huh? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And the busboy.
The busboy. And you got people may go to this restaurant because they say, well, oh wow, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to eat over here because this is a better restaurant. But the food at a little restaurant, you know, just a little small restaurant may be better and cheaper, but they want to go to the most expensive one.
I totally agree. And when you said that, I noticed something.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Hooters, how are the women dressed?
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
They are dressed very productive.
They dress according to what Hooters standard is, come in there to buy from that restaurant.
And predominantly the customers are men. However, because of the women dressed that the way that they dress, right, the men come in automatically assume, oh, because her chest is out, because she's wearing the short shorts, I can talk to her, I can treat her, I can manhandle her any way I so choose. Why? Because she is fitting that role.
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, you go to a lot of these sit-down restaurants, 99.9, the most popular waitresses are the big busted women, the attractive women, the cute petite ones. Right. Now, granted, she may not be a good waitress. She may drop your food. She may drop your coffee down your blouse or your pants. But because she's cute and she's bubbly and she's perky, you know, she has a nice set of teeth and a perfect complexion, you'll be more forgiving towards girl A than you have a girl who is a little bit fluffy. She has bad skin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And but she comes to you and she gives you excellent service. And because she's trying to take care of her two sections, plus the girl said girl A section, because the girl A section is too busy flirting with these soldiers over here, right? Now she's doing everything, and because she's not as attractive as girl A, the store manager, which is a man who happens to like girl A, going to put all the work on girl B.
That's right.
Now she's got to sit up in there and do all this work, and she's overworked, she's underpaid, and she is tired, and she accidentally gives you sweet tea instead of your Mountain Dew, but the person who ordered Mountain Dew is right across from you at the same table, mind you. You get mad at her. You call her all names in the book but a child of God. Now poor girl B is up there boo-hooing, right? She's apologizing. The manager's coming over, and the manager's all upset at the girl B, and now he want to take it out of, you know, take it out of her, you know, her tip money over a stupid $2 drink.
Yep.
And you couldn't sit up in there and just, no, I'm sorry, hon, you know. But she's overworked, but she gave you excellent service. You asked for extra butter for your potato. She brought it to you, no charge. She bought you bacon bits. She bought you bread. You know, she done put milk in the baby sippy cup. But because you want to be an idiot, because she's not as cute as girl A.
Wow, that's good. That's a good thing you just said.
But how many times have we seen it? And all
the time.
How many times have we seen it?
I've seen it
and we have never done nothing about it.
Nope, I've never seen it. I'll tell you another one. It's be in a restaurant, and you're sitting at the table, you've already placed your order, and let's just use girl A, comes out,
okay,
cleans off the table, because she's already, you know, they left her, let's just say they left her a $10 tip.
Mm-hmm.
She cleaned off the table. She goes to the next one, and she waits on these people, and she's looking at them, and she's trying to tell them, you know, okay, this is what we have special on order. And the people are placing their order, being very rude with her. Because
mm-hmm.
you got a $10 tip now. They know this. But they're being very rude with her when they're placing their order. I think that is so humiliating.
It's yeah.
You know, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Where
you're sitting there and you're watching these people talk to this waitress like she's nothing. Just because
like she's old. But she's a dog because she's not as attractive, because girl B is not as attractive as girl A, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then the guys, and what bothers me, because I've seen it, and not only have I seen it, but I dealt with it because it happened to me. Worked in a restaurant, and all these guys came in, and because I gave them excellent service, they gave me what they thought my tip should have been. And they gave me some of the tables that they gave me was $5. Some people gave me 10. But because I got that amount of a tip, the place that I worked in, it was mom and pop shop.
Mm-hmm.
But because I got the bigger tip, now all of a sudden, now I'm the one who cooked the food. I'm the one who took the order, lady. Not only did I took their order, I cooked their food, I brought their food to them in a timely manner, because they were, you know, there was military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Bought them whatever they needed, you know, because I knew them, because they came in every day just to see me. I already knew their order. I knew what day it was, what they wanted, how they wanted it, when they wanted it, whatever. Extra napkins, you name it. As soon as I seen them, I had their stuff waiting for them already. But because it's me, the people that I work with, all of a sudden now they want to take my tip money and put it in the tip jar and collect it at the end of the day. Now, I'm the one who cooked, cleaned, slaved over the stove, then brought out to bust the tables, wash the dishes, just so I can get ready to do it all over again for the next person. Here I am. I'm walking out with $2 or $3 in my pocket, and the owner's mom, the owner's best friend, and almost everybody from her church was walking out with $15, $20 in their pocket, but they didn't do anything.
Ooh,
that's not
so
good.
Yeah, I got mad. So
uh-huh.
then, as now on that, but they seen this. Right? And so now the guy started putting the money in my name.
Lord have mercy.
They seen them do this, right? And so now they're upset. Now, me being the person that I am, I went ahead, I pocketed my money because I'm the one who did everything. Next thing I know, I'm being written up or about to be written up because of I didn't share the money. Now, so me, I'm Malby. And everyone, anybody who knows me knows I'm Malby. I'm like, okay, but what did you do? Well, you're supposed to split that tip with all of us, including my daughter. I go, first of all, did your daughter do anything? Did she, as a matter of fact, your daughter wasn't even here. Your daughter didn't even cook the meal. Say it, but her thing was, I bought it. I don't care, but that's my money.
That's terrible.
And I was like, you know what? I'm like, this tip is not worth my job. I'm like, if you want the tip so doggone bad, y'all can keep the stupid tip.
Exactly.
Would that be called
y'all
greed?
Can keep it.
Would that be called greed? Was it fair to you for them to take tip and
no,
keep
it? No, the thing of it is, it was, I noticed something because the guys will come in and they will bring their friends in. And when they brought their friends in, they would take up at least four booths, at least four. And they all asked for me. They wouldn't ask for nobody else. They would ask for me. And they'd be like, where's T? Oh, she in the back. Okay. Well, T can't come out right now. Or they would tell people that I'm not there. Or I'm on break.
Oh, wow.
It was discrimination because people came in for me. I didn't have to read the order. And I was like, okay. And I let it go. I let it go. It just wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth me arguing over $5. And at the end of, and then it went from at the end of the day to at the end of the week. And so then they were in it. They were, you know, everybody else was pulling $30, $40. And I'm getting five. I'm like, five? Why is your daughter getting 15 to 20 and she wasn't even here? Oh, she took the order and she messed up their order. All of their orders. I had to go up there and look at these people and fix it because she had table A, table one, with table four. And I had to go and fix their orders.
Oh, wow. Well,
but yet,
I want to address the second question, okay, about, you know, paganism, right? Different religion. I know a lot of people in different religion. Do people stereotype them? Yes, they do.
Yes, they do all the time.
Yes, they do. They stereotype them because of the name of the religion or the organization that they belong to. It doesn't have to be a religion. It can be an organization that they belong to. They stereotype them. They badmouth them because it's not one of them, okay? And is that fair to that organization? Is that fair to that religion? Or
no.
What, you know, is that fair? No, it's not. Because it depends on what you want to do in life. And what you have chose to learn a lesson from, and whatever it is, whether it be religion, whether it be job, whether it be people, people will stereotype you. So is that fair? Because you chose to learn lessons in different parts of your life with different ethics of people and race and everything. It's not fair, but they do it. And
you're
then,
right. It's not fair.
You're trying to figure out why am I being treated like this? You know, why are they doing this to me? Or why are they saying these things to me? Or why are they being so mean and hateful to me? And when you try to, when you realize that people sometimes are not so kind to each other the way they should be, and then you go home. And you got to deal with either, well, you got to deal with God, yourself, your family, and, you know, you stressed out, you done had a bad day, or, you know, you done a bad evening. The reason why I'm saying that, I have a niece, she went to work, she works third shift.
Yeah.
You would think people come in from 11 at night till 7 in the morning would not be, oh, you know, acting the way they I call it a donkey, acting a donkey.
Yeah.
And they got attitudes. They upset because, you know, they got to make production, or they have to, you know, they got to get caught up on some things that is behind, but they get mad. But it's still a job. And I told her, I said, let me tell you something. If you do your job, don't you complain about what the other person is doing. You just do your little job, 7 o'clock, goodbye. You leave your work.
But you know what, Aunt Mary? There's something you told me a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never forgotten this. In fact, I shared this with other people. Right? There's certain things after 11:45, and Amara can attest to you, I don't talk about it. I don't entertain. I don't deal with. Why? Because something you told me a long time ago, at between 11:45 and 6 a.m., that's when the gates of hell are open.
That's right. Bewitching hour.
And that's when everybody wants to do, because it's dark. Everybody wants to be devilish, as my grandmama would say, you know, and they want to be conniving and contrary and all this other type of hoopla. Why? Because they figure after, because when them gates are open, they can get away with it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And guess
but,
what?
You know,
they're still doing that to this day. All you got to do is watch people. You'll know the good one, the bad one, and the ugly one. You will know. Just watch.
Yeah.
And then you have the ones who are just undecided, and that's what bothers me with the ones who are undecided. Not the fact that they're undecided, it's because they're so open.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so easily manipulated. I don't want to say manipulated, but they're so persuadable to go this direction or to go that direction. And I see it a lot, and that's why I tell a lot of people, don't go from my story. Don't listen to my story, and don't let emotions control you.
Mm-hmm.
Because emotions, when you get emotions involved, especially in religion, it tends to mess with things. Now, back to the religion thing. Now, we all know each religion has, you have your good and you have your bad.
Yeah.
But it is the bad ones I have noticed more.
Mm-hmm.
Who, you have the people, it goes back to when I was in college. And I had a classmate who was Muslim. And everything was praise Allah, praise Allah, praise Allah. And he went on to tell me that what I did was wrong, and that my religion was wrong, and how I ate and how I dressed and the makeup, I was wrong because of this, and it became to the point where when I saw him, I don't have anything to do with him. I did not want to talk to him. He made my class really just unpleasant for me. But I came home and it was like every day I will leave class in tears because of this man. And he didn't want to respect our teacher because she was a woman and all of that, but she was of Caucasian persuasion. He didn't want to respect her. So finally, I talked to a friend, and he goes, you know what? The longer you keep quiet, the longer you let him spew his views out.
Yeah, and he gets tired of it.
He goes,
until you're
sick and tired, then
you
can.
Yeah, I got one for you, Tina.
Uh-huh.
I was real young. Everybody know I love red. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this church one time. I had red fingernails, red lipstick, okay? And
mm-hmm.
I had a red pair of high heel shoes.
Okay.
Okay. And I knew I was looking nice. I did not have on one of them little short skirts that you sit down and you got to pull and pull and pull. Okay?
Right.
I had on a nice dress that came down to almost to my ankles, actually. But it looked nice because I had on the high heels, but they were real.
Mm-hmm.
I never forgot what that preacher said to me. You are Jezebel, because I had on red. He got up in the pulpit. He preached about my red fingernails, my red lipstick.
Yes,
and my red...
I've been there.
Oh, my God. It hurt me
I've
so bad.
Yes,
and he stereotyped me.
With the small... Yes. Yes.
He
stereotyped me. A small congregation.
Awesome.
Yes.
Taking Jezebel. Just because I had on red. I cried so hard until when I went to, they had a little luncheon. Like, you know, you go to church, you know, back in them days, you're there all day long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I went outside, and I was standing there. I couldn't even eat with the people. I cried that hard because all he talked about was Jezebel and one of the girls sitting here and literally pointed me out.
Yes, I've been there, yes.
And it hurt so bad because, and that, I mean, that was back in those days, you know, that it was that
yeah.
bad.
And it's still, ain't
one
no,
of the
ain't,
sisters,
ain't
church.
No better because they're still doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, church who are still doing that, who are still doing that now. I remember I went to a church, and it was around the Christmas holidays, and everybody who knows me knows Christmas is just not me. I just don't do Christmas. I just don't.
Uh-huh.
And because it's hard for me. And so I went there, and because it was the Christmas season, I decided to go ahead and you, most people who know me know I don't do red. But the red that I had was a gift, so I put it on, and I went to church with my boss. And this woman, just her pastor, done tore me. Now, mind you, it was a small congregation, a very small congregation. Matter of fact, the size of the church was maybe the size of the criminal justice building.
Uh-huh.
The lobby. That's how big it was. And you know the criminal justice building is not that big.
Right.
The lobby itself is not that big.
Yeah, I remember those days.
And it was maybe about 30, 35 people in the whole entire church. I'm the only one wearing makeup. I'm the only one wearing red. And she just destroyed me. Made me feel like cat poo on your red bottom Louis Vuitton. And so then after church, they want to, you know, when they were doing the altar call, they will try to point me out even more and make me come to the altar and pray for forgiveness and get my life right and all this other type of hoopla. And so then her husband come up to me, well, I can tell you trouble. I'm fine. I don't do Christmas. Well, no, because the Bible says I'm not supposed to ask for it. If I want it, it was bestowed upon me as a gift. I go, don't try to quote scripture with me, brother, because I know them. And I know them where I have been taught. Thank you.
So he's
now, because I came from a Baptist church, they automatically assumed that I didn't know anything. However, this woman has been in Killeen for Lord knows how long. I said, let me tell you something. My late pastor was this. My pastor I'm under now is my uncle this. And when they, as soon as they heard my pastor and my late pastor's name, oh, and they turned on their heels and walked away from me.
Oh, wow.
About faith?
So then, yeah, they literally turned about faith and walked away from me. And so we were served. Then I became friends with the daughter. And so then she tells her daughter proceeds to tell me, oh, don't get intertwined with her because you know she's Baptist.
Oh, wow.
No,
so therefore, now you know, as you say now I'm in my feelings. And so I had to, and I remember the perfect payback I looked at her, she said something to me. I said, no, baby, the Bible says there's no difference between the, you know, the Jews and the Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because the same Lord loves us all.
That is so dangerous.
Say anything else to me.
I tell you what, a lot of people has left God and the church because of someone stereotyping them.
Yep.
They left believe anymore. I don't, because someone has said something to hurt them that bad. I didn't leave the church. What I did was I just couldn't go back there to that specific church because they hurt my, that preacher hurt my feelings so
right.
bad. You know, until one of the sisters said to me, are you coming back next Sunday? I said, no. I just found me another church to go to. And that's the reason why a lot of people to this day, right now, you can meet some very good people, but if you get to know them and you ask them, do you go to church on Sunday? No, I don't go to church on Sunday. And after a while, you get to know them, and they'll tell you exactly what happened to them. And that, I think that is so, because to me, when they do that, they're taking that person and messing them up so bad that they don't believe in God anymore, or they
you're
don't
right.
want to
pray right.
anymore, or they don't want to.
Or,
give thanks to God anymore.
This one.
Just mess them right on up.
Yeah.
And this is this one. If Christianity is all about how y'all act, then leave me the hell out of it. And it's that, because it's not even just people who come to the church and get offended. It's people who have been in the church. Because I know I was at my uncle's church. And I got hurt, and I got hurt really, really bad. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of being talked about and lied on and judged. And these are people who are supposed to be who say they follow in Christ. No, I'm done. Because this is the stuff that people look at. And so when I left, I left. And I put all that behind me, and now I am where I am. And I have never been in a church where there is no discrimination. There is nobody's judging nobody. Nobody cares if you came from the Catholic Church, if you came from the Buddhist Church. We don't care. You know, our main thing is you're there. And that's it. That's all we care.
I got a question. Do you ladies remember, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, I don't remember what year was it, but you remember the Chick-fil-A incident with the homosexualities?
What happened?
The Chick-fil-A.
What happened?
Yes.
Basically
what happened is I think somebody was the homosexual lifestyle, or the gay lifestyle. And somebody from Chick-fil-A boycotted Chick-fil-A because either somebody in the establishment was gay, or they said that they supported or they didn't support gay marriage, whatever the case may be. And it was just a big, big, big hoo-ha of either they was for it or they was against it. It was just this big, big to-do. And however, they was blaming Chick-fil-A and boycotting a certain Chick-fil-A, but it wasn't that particular Chick-fil-A. It was like either management, it was like corporation nonsense.
Corporation.
Whatever.
It was probably a corporation because I think the CEO who was in charge, he was against, you know, gay marriages at that time, because he had that big, big old vote in I think it was like years ago, and they say, well, we're gonna, you know, we don't want to serve gay people, and I mean, when I was on Facebook, and I do have, you know, conservative people, which I'm not, you know, I'm not into, like, you know, politics in a way, but you know, I'm a little of a
fan. Right.
Anyways, but you know. I mean, I just kind of like feeling disgusted, but you know what? It's their opinion, but in a way, it's like, well, you don't like homosexualities, well, that's your opinion. But you know, I got friends who are gay, And
me too.
I don't care what they do. I don't care what they are. I mean, God knows if a guy dressed as a woman putting on beautiful makeup and a wig or anything, I mean, let them do it. It's their entertainment.
You know, my thing is, and this is, I have friends who are, and they're talking about, because a lot of them, some of them don't live here, and they want to come and visit me. They said, well, if you do, we'll leave before Sunday so you can go to church. And I'm like, why? What? Now, I would want you to go with it. Well, we're not accepted. Says who? Show me where it's written saying y'all can't go to church. Please, show me. I'll wait. And they say, well, where we? I'll go first. Well, God, I go, no, first, well, let me clarify something with you. He has never said that he hates homosexuality. He said it is a sin and it is an abomination to him. And what that means is when he created man and woman, he created man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he created. However, mm-hmm. he still called you. You're still his child. He still loves you. There's a lot of things that we all do, I said, including me, that he does not approve of. But does not mean that he does not love me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I have never heard it that way. I'm like, okay, well, then fine. You need to start listening to the right people and stop listening to the wrong people.
Exactly.
I mean, God is not going to sit up in there and be like, oh, okay, you're at a gay church, so therefore you don't need salvation, so I'm not going to talk to you. No, he doesn't single out anybody, because if that was the case, I can tell you right now, just from the stuff I've done alone, hell, what I said today, I won't even be here. And I've included all of us. Not just the things we said, but the things that we thought. We would not be here. There would nobody be on this face because there's nobody perfect. We strive for perfection.
That's
yeah.
Right. We do.
We strive. Each day it gets a little bit easier. Okay, you know what? Today, you know, yesterday wasn't as bad. I didn't eat that many cookies. Okay, let's see. I only ate 4 yesterday. Okay, well, let's see if I can only eat 2 or none.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to me. You know, I didn't smoke all day. I only had 1 cigarette today. That's an accomplishment, considering, you know, what you was doing, smoking a half a pack a day. Now you're down to 1 cigarette a day, if that. It's an accomplishment, you know, and we got so many people to sit up in there and judge and be judgmental and discriminate. I mean, I've seen places where it bothers me, and I've literally said things to people,
mm-hmm.
right, where I remember this one lady, she was in a cart, and she was a heavy set lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to get something off the shelf, and she couldn't do it. And she was trying to stand up and trying to get it, and she was having a hard time getting up. And so I walked right past her. I went, grabbed the stuff off the shelf, put it in her, you know, put it in her thing, and she sat there, and this woman sat there in tears.
Oh, wow.
She goes, I've been sitting here for 5 minutes trying to get that, and I've asked for help, and nobody's bothered helping me. She goes, can I ask you?
Yeah,
she asked me, why did I do
it? That was very kind of you. That was very kind.
And
back to discrimination again, people discriminate because of weight, too.
Yeah. And think of it, she asked me, she said, young lady, she goes, can I ask you why? I said, because it's a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just human nature. You see your brother, you see your sister in pain or in need. And she looks at me and with tears in her eyes, and she goes, honey, I have never been this big in all my life.
Wow.
She said, I hurt my back. And I got depressed, and I ate, and then I got on medication,
And then my medication had steroids in it, and it made me gain weight. And now I broke my ankle, and now I can't. Now, she wasn't big, big, but she was, at, you know, a nice size. Mm-hmm. She goes, but because of my injuries, it's hard for me to go out there and exercise. And I looked at her and I held her hand. I said, honey, you don't have to tell me nothing. You owe me no explanations.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I go, do you need any help, you know, with anything else? And I followed her around the store and I helped her get her groceries. And she goes, can I do something for you? I said, just pay it forward, sweetheart. Just pay it forward. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
And just to smile on her face. And then you had people behind her whispering and giggling and sniggling. And I looked at them. I'm like, you know what? You keep it up. One day this could be you.
I want to ask, I was watching the news earlier today. Mm-hmm. And my sister had called and told me, she said, you have to, you know, look for it. And I did see it on the news. What happened to the young man who had the, is it an e-cigarette? Is that what they call?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I mean, his pants caught on fire? Or what happened?
No, they were saying that now that, because see, sometimes if you smoke an e-cigarette, which I do have one, I have several. Mm-hmm. They are easily to warm up. They can get warm really quick.
Yeah, they do.
So, and there's sometimes where I know with mine, it's hot to the touch.
Okay.
Now I don't know if the liquid went into the battery and between the heat of the e-cigarette and the heat of his body, I don't know.
But my question is, you said it gets hot, right? So what about when you put it in your mouth? Is it dangerous of blowing up in your mouth like it was in his pants?
No, because think of it is it's not the tip that gets hot. It's the battery itself gets hot.
The battery. Could that be dangerous when you're taking it out of your pocket to be able to puff on it?
That's why when the smoke shops I've been into, in all honestly, they have showed me how to operate it. When you're done smoking it, you turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
But like with anything, you can leave your coffee pot on for too long, and eventually coffee pot gonna catch on fire. We've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you leave the iron off for too long and you're not paying attention and you leave and, you know, I know my mama, when I started ironing my clothes, my mama has always told me, never lay the iron down. You always leave it standing up.
Yep, my mama always put out a socket when you get through with it, if you're not for sure you put it off.
Yeah, but if you got to go and you go to the bathroom or you go get something to drink, you leave it up. You leave it upright. You don't leave it down. Okay.
Even with your hot iron, flat
iron.
Yeah,
your curling iron, your flat iron, exactly. You know, you put it on a little stand or you lay it on a towel or something and then you unplug it. You make sure it's away from water. Anything of that nature where it can catch on fire or burn a hole in something.
Uh-huh.
It could have been defective. Don't really know, but I've seen people I've seen posts where people on the news, they had their phone laying next to the bed and, you know, the bed caught on fire or the pillow caught on fire and the phone blew up because it was too hot.
Wow.
Yeah, I always tell my mom next time when you had to tablets or anything on your bed, just keep it away from it. Don't cover it because if you do, it will catch on fire, and it's a heartbeat.
And it's electronic. But just like anything, now, ladies, my thing is this. In all honesty, have we discriminated against something,
someone because of what we were taught.
Have we ever, you mean?
Have we ever?
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be, of course.
I have.
I know I have.
We all, you know, if we all be, you know, if we all be honest, and we, with, and I read a book, it was a Bible study I was at my church, and the man said that we said over 8,000 things,
right,
to ourselves daily.
Mhm.
So while we're talking with somebody else, we're thinking on what we're going to do in the next hour or so. Tomorrow, or the next 5 or 10 minutes, or you're thinking about, okay, tomorrow is Sunday. I need to take out that row so I can do it with them greens. I need to put my greens on now so they can be ready for tomorrow. I got to go do this. I got to go to church. Am I working at church tomorrow? Okay. After the church, well, you know what? I don't have onions for the greens. I don't have cornbread. So after church, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to get the onions. I'm going to get the cornbread. And while we're on the phone talking, this is what's going through our head. And then you go to the store. And you see this itty bitty thing wearing this short dress with high heels, and then someone says something to her, and the first thing popped off in her mouth was, "Well, she shouldn't have it on."
Yeah. And you
well,
know,
if you wasn't advertising, that wouldn't have happened. Would
you
say
Myra
incriminated?
I saw, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, mean or anything, but, you know, one day I was at CTC campus, and I saw these three dark-skinned women, okay? And, I mean, it was great for them to go to school, get their education, but the way they dress, I mean, they were in short shorts with long socks and I'm like, okay, are they going to school to get an education, or are they just going to go and have an entertainment? Because the way
they
wear, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, it's not like, okay, oh, you're going to be discriminated just because of what you wear, but, you know, when
you
go
to...
No,
a lot of ways you are.
When you go to a job interview, and I mean, even though that you want this job so bad, and you know, it's like, oh, it's a desk job, and you get paid about $15 an hour, and all you do is just like answer phone calls and do faxing, do this, do that. But the way what you wear, what are you doing? Are you gonna represent?
You know what? And they say this 99.9 your job interview is how you carry yourself.
Exactly.
Because you can go in there and you may be qualified for that position, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're tired. Okay, Myra, let's say for your case, you go and you apply for a disc jockey job at a radio station.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
You have
mm-hmm.
on a pair of black slacks, you know, a nice top, a nice pretty pink top. You know, your makeup is not too heavy. It's not too, you know, your perfume don't get there for you to. Or anything of that nature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, you get in there, but because your baby was sick, or your baby had a long nap that night, and you know now it took forever for you to put him down.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're tired. You're not on your A game. They will step there and judge you because they think you're being nonchalant about it. Because you're not excited, or you go to the job interview, right, or you're on your way there, and you hit a speed bump, so now you got coffee all over your shirt. So now they judging you, but it's big coffee stains on your shirt. But what they didn't know is, you know, you didn't hit a chug hole on the way to the radio station.
Yeah, you know.
Now you got coffee on your clothes.
Yeah, things happen and everything. And, I mean, I'm a single mom with two boys, and, yeah, it's true. I mean, the reason I'm doing this, you know, because, I mean, that was my dream a long time ago. I would have been thought about this, like, years on, but I was like, nah, I don't like it. But when I tried to, you know, when I started this Blog Talk Radio show, I was like, man, maybe I could go to a further step and go to school, because the job I was working at is just not for me. It's just,
and a lot of times we discriminate against ourselves, you know, because we feel like, oh, because the age that I am and the size that I am, I don't deserve this, so therefore I'm going to settle, you know. We hold ourselves back, and we do a lot of stuff to ourselves. And not only that, but we allow other people to say stuff about people we care about. And the reason why I say this, it is I remember the first time I went to CTC, and I ran into Aunt Mary.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing this woman, short hair, makeup on point, her earrings on, and she is being nice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hearing all this chatter about negative chatter.
Yeah.
About Aunt Marilyn.
And I
got very highly upset. Now, I can't remember exactly how we met. I don't know if he was outside and we were talking or whatever. And so then I had somebody come up to me and say, well, you know, you shouldn't be talking to her. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Well, you know she's this. And I'm like, okay, well, how do you know she's this? Have you talked with her? Oh, well, we worked together. I said, I didn't ask you all that question. I said, did I ask you, did you ask her? And they were like, well, this is what, suit your own. I guess you're one of them, too. I was like, you know what? After the day I become one, the day I let you know.
You know, it's the thing about that, because the word discriminate is distinguish and show favor and disfavor. You see, that's the word you guys are doing, you know, what you guys are saying and what you are talking about. That's what the word means about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in the dictionary. And I mean, I'm truly surprised, Tina, how what you are saying about, you know, oh, well, you know, that's not your business who I'm talking to. You know, you could talk whoever you want. That's your decision.
But I guess he felt like he was trying to protect me or warn me or whatever. And this is where I got him to shut up. I'm like, okay, you worried about my sexuality, but yet here you are, you're an old man, or already an old dirty man at that, trying to hit on these young college girls. So you worried about if I'm gay or not, but yet ain't you the same one who asked me out?
Yo, Jesus.
And if you really want me to go there, I know your pastor.
Oh, Lord.
Now, do you really want to go there with me?
Wow.
Now, he left me alone, right? And so now I had people who was in my class, and they were like, you know, who are they talking about? And I'm like, you know, and they see me talking to Miss Marilyn, you know, Aunt Marilyn.
And like, oh, yeah, I know her. And it was people, girls who I knew who lived in the dorm. Oh, she is so nice. She is so sweet. You know, if I need anything, she gets it. You know, no questions asked. Oh, my goodness, she's so nice. She speaks to everybody. I can't imagine why somebody sit up there and say something like that about her. But yet, this is the same individual who was going around and saying that A. Merlin was gay and I should watch myself around her, was the same fool who was up in there and he, him and her on her face.
And my question is, how do you know if she is not gay or not?
Exactly. I mean, you know why? Because he went by her haircut.
It's,
oh, I was stereotyped a lot about my haircut because I was one of the first people in this town who cut their hair the way I cut mine. And it was the barbershop. The barbershop was a mess, girl. They wouldn't cut my hair because I had to go get a female to cut my hair because my hair grew so fast. And the only reason why that I cut my hair the way it was because of my sister, I made a bet and I lost it. But you know what? That's the best thing ever happened to me because I've been loving that haircut ever since. And they didn't like me after I cut my hair off. Nobody liked me. They wanted to say I was gay because I cut my hair off. And guess what? I was not gay. I was married.
Right.
I had a family. I minded my own business. I did my job at home.
And
no one else, I didn't know what the guys flirting with the employees. I didn't put up with that BS because I was happily married, just like I'm happily married today. And I didn't put up with the BS. I said, I'm not a cheater. I don't cheat on my husband. I have no intention of cheating on him. I cut my hair this way because that's what I wanted to do because I lost a bet with my sister and I won, and she won, and she said, what you got to do is cut your hair off. And I cut it. And I've been wearing my hair short like this ever since.
But, you know, the thing of it is, and I think if I would have, and I'm so glad I didn't entertain it, because I would have missed out on a beautiful friendship with my Aunt Mary.
Well, thank you, Tina, honey. I love you.
And I love you, too, man. But, you know, and
I
think of it, and it made me mad, because you see these men all up in her face. Him and the thing of it is, she already knows who I'm talking about because she got on him for hitting on the young women, and it's like, all right, you can get in trouble again. You know, mind your business. You know, they too young for you. Mind your business. They gonna give you a heart attack. Mind your business. Mind your business. Mind your business.
Do you remember? Do you remember the same person we're talking about would go and get these little coupons out of the little sales paper in order to hit on a female to take them out to dinner. I thought so nasty because he didn't have enough respect to take his money and pay for the dinner. He wanted to go get a coupon and use it to take her out to dinner so he could persuade her to try to get in goody with her to get her with a coupon, and that's what used to really make me mad about working too with that individual. Was you know you getting a coupon out of a newspaper to take this woman out to dinner when she's beautiful and she deserves more. Sure, it's okay to have a coupon. Don't get me wrong, but when you taking a beautiful lady out. And you so disgusting. You know, my thing was you had the bad mouth, the bad teeth, the bad breath, you know. And I'm going like.
Just bad all in general.
This is a good person. Want to give her a coupon dinner? Oh, please.
I'm serious. You be up there laughing. I'm sorry. Now, how in the devil you going to try to come up talk about, hey there, baby girl. And then your breath get there for you do. Your body funk get there for you do. Right.
Oh,
I don't know how old this man was. I don't care. But I'm sorry, but I learned how to button my clothes after the age of 5.
Yep.
I think I had it down by then. He had stuff mixed matching and some of the shirt tucked in, and then he would try to say, well, I'm a hard working man. Okay, but yeah, there was other men who was in maintenance who had their shirt tucked in nicely.
Yep.
Right.
they wasn't slouchy. They were big men. They wasn't slouchy. You know, they were. And so then when I finally told him I don't date black men, then he wanted to get ugly, and then that's when I had to get ugly with him.
Well, ladies, we got 15 minutes remaining. I'm sorry to cut you off, Tina.
No, you're good. But, you know, it goes back to discrimination and the stereotypes where, and I've said this before, if a black woman says she does not date black men, she is a sellout.
Girl, yeah.
But if a white woman says she does not date black men, she's a racist.
Yep.
Yeah. You see, that's the thing that I've been hearing a lot about it, a lot. And I'm like, well, I was talking about you, T. I mean, I would say, well, my homegirl, you know, I have to say my homegirl, you know, I don't say your name, like, well, Tina this, you know. But, you know, I was like, well, my homegirl, you know, she don't like black men. I don't know why.
No, that's the thing. I don't say I don't like them because it gets into a big debate.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case, I wouldn't like them in my family. I wouldn't love my uncles. I wouldn't love my brothers. I choose not to date black men because how they come at me, how they approach me. Hey, little mama, hey, shorty, hey, baby girl, hey, sexy, damn, you're hot, and all this other type of stuff, and they disrespect me when they approach me. So, therefore, why am I going to go for that?
I do apologize for that. I was kind of misunderstood for that.
Oh, no. You're good in all in about your approach. Or they're married, and we're talking about you want to be my side. No, baby, I'm nobody's side, honey. I'm sorry. Them days when I was Eve, when God took her. No, I'm sorry. Uh-uh. I don't want to be your side chick.
But, you know, I had a friend also was like that, too. She's like, I don't date them. I was like, well, you know, that's okay. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, what against what she said. You know, that's her opinion. If she doesn't like it, you know.
Erica, can you not date who you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can, but this is a funny thing I have noticed, and especially in the code, go back to discrimination again with black men. I've heard so many black men get mad at me because of who I date and why I date them. But yet, as soon as they find out that I'm half Mexican or I'm Indian, oh, well, see, I don't even like black women. But hold up, ain't you the same man who got mad at me because I said I don't date black men?
Wow. Isn't that something?
They just stereotyped you, girl. They just stereotyped you.
I mean, it's like
the crap out of them.
You know, for me, it's comical because they don't like black women because they're loud, they're obnoxious, they're rude, they're crude, they're ghetto, they this. But everything they put every black woman in, that's what they are.
Yeah, this is my race, too, is like that, too, you know.
You know what I mean? And so then I get them with this, so if every black woman you come across of is loud, obnoxious, ghetto, a whore, a gold digger, so what that makes your mama?
You see?
Don't talk about my mama. Hold up. You said every black woman, and you black. That wouldn't mean your mama black. So that means your mama's rude and crude and a gold digger.
Auntie, let me see. Your mama, your auntie.
You know, so then, and then they leave me alone. Then they leave me alone. They don't want to talk to me anymore. Oh, because now I'm ignorant and I'm stupid. I'm like, but hold on. Ignorance is stupidity, baby. You get it corrected.
Amen.
So before you
that.
Come at me with something stupid, you may want to catch yourself. We got to be careful because a lot of times we say things, but yet we do them as well. You can't get mad at your Puerto Rican brothers because they don't want to date Puerto Rican women and you don't date Puerto Rican men. You can't get mad at them for that.
I have a cousin who literally I have, like, I think both of them are the same. They're sisters, too. And I think they married black guys. And I really don't care. I mean, I mean, I'm not judgmental about them for who they are, what they want to be, and who they want to be with. I don't really don't care about it. Now, it's like me, you know, with a Dominican, it's like everything's like a big explosion, you know, because
it's you. That's what it has nothing to do with who you date, ladies. It has nothing to do with what you do, who your friends are. It has to do with you. Y-O-U. I mean, your sister could sit up in an Aunt Marilyn, marry a goat, and your family like, well, as long as she's happy.
Yep.
as long as she's happy with that goat, baby, that's fine. God bless her and that goat, and hope to have many kids.
But you know,
but you come home with the white man, you're going to hell.
You know, I had the same thing. You know, like my brother dated married a white man, and I don't care about that either. You know, it's like, well, as long as you have a good life, as long as you have, you know, beautiful kids, and you know, I wish you guys the best. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not like, she, you know, like, oh my God, it's like,
right.
No, I'm not like that because I'm not raised like that, you know, because what we are, we don't raise to be hateful, you know. As we Christians or, you know, Catholics or whatever we are, you know, what they say, we don't judge who you are and who you with, okay? Because judging is a killer.
Yeah, it is. And
it's a killer.
It is, you know, if we look at it like this, it makes us bitter. It makes us angry. It makes us hateful. Now, if you look at us on the phone now, by stereotypes, by whatever, we're not supposed to get along, period. The blacks, the Native Americans, the Mexicans, well, hell, all three of me ain't supposed to get along, but apparently somebody came together and had my behind. And then it was where the young and the old are not supposed to see eye to eye, and I can see your point and you can see my point, but yet here we are with Aunt Marilyn, who is like one of our dearest friends, Myra, right? And so therefore that stereotype was broken. And then you take us, if everything we done been through with each other, including the races, we should have, one, never talked to each other, number one. Never, you know, we never should have spoke ever again according to society, but yet we break that every day by coming together and talking to each other and with each other and not at each other. And I think that this world would be a better place if we just sit down with each other, talk with, talk to, instead of talk at.
Okay. Well, we almost got like 10 more minutes remaining here. I mean, this was a really good conversation this evening. We should. Because there's a lot of things going on here. I mean, it's just, you know, people have been doing, like, favor and disfavor to each other. I mean, what I like to do, like, for me, as like myself, I like stones. I like to go out there in the yard, pick up a rock, and just feel the energy. That's just me.
Yeah.
And then people think like, oh, you're going to hell for that? I'm like, no, you don't. No, I don't. Because I'm touching God's creation. What the hell does it do with that?
Because
oh,
it goes back to paganism. That if you really think about it, the stone goes back to either paganism or a hoodoo. And so, therefore, because a lot of people do not sit down and talk to somebody who is pagan, or talk to somebody who does hoodoo, or talk to somebody who's a Buddhist, right? Then, therefore, it goes back to what you don't know you hate. Remember when what's love got to do with it? And Tina Turner became a Buddhist.
Exactly.
And her friend, because she was so distraught. Now, Tina Turner grew up in a Baptist church. She sang in the Baptist church, but because she sang the way she sang, she was kicked out. So, therefore, she had, I don't want to say a bad taste in her mouth about the church, but in a lot of ways, if you read between the lines, if you don't sing the way we want you to sing, and if you don't act the way we want you to act, then you don't need to be here.
Yep.
So she walked away. However, she still had a song in her heart, and she still sang the way she wanted to sing.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when she, you know, when things went south with her and her husband, right, for her, it was her friend took her on a walk because she was vulnerable. This is what I do. This is how I pray. This is how I do it. Instead of Tina judging her because she was already distraught because she was so low, she couldn't get any lower ladies, she did it. And her friend taught her the way. So when she was on her own and she started, you know, she started chanting, and Ike was making fun of the way she chanted, and instead of her retaliating, she kept on chanting. She just kept on and on. Till this day, she is still a Buddhist. She still prays. Right? But is she known for her being a Buddhist, or is she known for her music?
Well, we got almost 7 minutes remaining. I hate to give you guys a warning. Well, you know, we're doing that on the air. It's like, stream less, 7 minutes remaining. I'm like, oh, God. I know I should put a little bit more minutes, but, you know, I didn't know you guys were going to be here. I was so surprised. I was like, yeah, oh, my God, surprise for me.
You know, but well, I will leave y'all with this, ladies. We live in a society now where society teaches us.
Exactly.
It teaches us to hate. It teaches us to be closed-minded. It teaches us that it's okay as long as we have a platform, we can spit our views, and it's okay because as long as we have money, or because if we look like this, or because we have this name, it's okay. Okay, well, I'm here to say, ladies, it is not okay. Society does not need to be teaching our children. We need to be teaching our children. We need to teach our children to be kind, to be gentle, not to judge. If you don't know, you ask. And if you don't know how to say it, go to them like, you know what? I don't know how to say this, and I don't know how to ask you this without coming across ignorant or being hateful or being mean. So please forgive me for how I'm about to say this.
Well, we almost got 5 minutes remaining. I'm going to go ahead and try to see if I could do a little commercial here. Miss Sister Marilyn, what's your Let's Talk and Pray? So how's everything going with your Let's Talk and Pray?
It's going very well. I've had a real good week. I have no complaints about it, you know. I'm not going to complain about it because it could have been a whole lot worse. It was a good, blessed week. And, you know, I got to pray for some people that I did not know. I met them at the VA hospital when I took my husband. And it's been very good because, you know, it took me my mind off some things because I did something for someone else who was having problems far worse than what I were having. And, it just gave me, you know, something to think about and give thanks to God for everything. So, you know, Pam, you need to be mentored or either just need some prayer. Feel free to call 254-634-4648 at letstalkandpray.com.
www.letstalkandpray.com if you need a spiritual advice. And, you know, Sister Marilyn will do her best to give you, you know, good prayers, advice, and everything. So there again,
trying to say, you know, because you have something you want to say that you can't say to nobody else. You can say it to me, and I'll listen. I'm not going to judge you.
And that's
you.
Another thing. God does not discriminate, and we need to get that. We need to get that out there. God does not discriminate. It is people who discriminate. It's not God.
Exactly. Well, thank you so very much, Myra, for your show. And you know my little word is, I am blessed and so are you.
Yeah, we are blessed and so are you. And ladies and gentlemen, there you go again. If you need a spiritual coach advice, go to www.letstalkandpray.com. And there's more information. Conference calls is tomorrow night, is Sunday night, from 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Central Time. So for more information on that one, just go to www.letstalkandpray.com. And I hope I will be there tomorrow. I just hope I love to be, you know, go to the conference call. There's a lot of things that Sister Marilyn tells, a lot of good things out there. So,
we have
to talk. Yes, please join.
And what time is it again?
7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time is on Sundays, every Sunday night. And the information, the phone numbers, is on the letstalkandpray.com. So,
okay.
It's like a little cat and mouse thing. So, contact information. So, if you click on contact us or something, there's the phone numbers there. So, yeah. I've been on their website. It's pretty, very beautiful. Got angels and everything. So, yes. So, ladies, again, thank you very much to join me on our show.
Thank you for having us, babe.
Yes, I would like to continue. Yes, I got 90 seconds remaining. I would like to continue more about this because sometimes when I saw something on the news last week about it, it's about a religion thing. It's, you know, dealing with anywhere you go in the military base or off base. I want to continue more on that one next week.
Let's do it.
Ladies, thank you very much for being on my show. Sister Marilyn, I am blessed and so are you. Sister T, thank you very much, and I am blessed too.
I'm too blessed to be stressed.
All right.
All have a good
night. Yes, you ladies have a wonderful night, and
y'all too.
All right. Thank you for joining my show.
I'll talk to y'all ladies later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And once again, thank you very much. Thank you for joining me. And I am Myra, a.k.a. Chica, and you're just listening to The Chica Show only on Blog Talk Radio. Signing off.